Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as the thief and the robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. You know, down in chapter 11, in the fourth verse, when Jesus heard that, speaking of Lazarus, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And then in the 39th verse, where he said, Take ye away the stone, he goes on to the 40th verse. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. A lot of things right here that's really, to me, really heart-stirring. Along with this that I read here, where they was going to stone Jesus. First of all, when I think of what Jesus said, he said to these people that wanted to stone him to death, Have not I called ye gods? Have not I called ye gods? Now, Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. And ever how the scripture fits you, then that's what it is. He makes a statement concerning humanity. And depending on humanity as to the way they're categorized as with the word, then the word applies to them. He said, for what good work do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we don't stone thee. But said, you being a man, you make yourself God. But see, there's no record where Jesus said, I am God. That's the way they do here. I don't get up here and I tell you that I'm God. But nevertheless, they still do the same thing to me today that they did to Jesus. As it was the other day when somebody said, he's saying that he's God. I come back and I explain the scriptures to you, verily proving the scriptures as to the application of an individual that is a believer. But it's very plain and it's very explicit here that they said, you being a man, remember, a man. Someone would like to think of Jesus different from being a man. But he was a man. The Bible said the man, Christ Jesus. And he said, I only said that I'm the Son of God. But they said, you say that you're God. But he didn't say that. He said, I say that I am the Son of God. Now, if I ask you, if I said now, are ye God? Oh no, someone would say, oh no, oh no. Oh no, I would not blaspheme. Oh no. But then I would say, well, are ye a son of God? Oh yes, they would say, I am a son of God. I am a son of God. But then I would say, you being a man, you make yourself God. Someone would say, well, how could that be, Brother Pike? Simple. As I say so many times, it takes a dog to bring forth a dog and a man to bring forth a man and a God to bring forth a God. And when he said he was the son of God, then that meant that he was born of God. Well, somebody would say now, Brother Pike, after all, he did say that, you know, as to what we would think. But folks, nobody had been born of God in that day. They didn't know anything about anybody being born of God. He'd never been taught anything about anybody being born of God. Not in that day. Someone would say, well, wasn't he born of God? Of course he was born of God. He was begotten of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was the first brother among many brethren. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Not only that, folks, but he was God. He said to the woman at the well, he said, lest you believe that I am the Messiah, you'll die in your sins. She said, Messiah cometh. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. But he said, I am he that speaketh unto thee. You've got to believe that I'm he or you'll die in your sins, he said to the people. And as he said to her. All right, now, here, because he said he was the Son of God, then they accused him of saying that he was God. You big a man, make yourself God. But now Jesus did not back up from that. Do you say that you're born of God? You that are looking at me, of course, you that are listening to me. You that will be reading these things. Do you say that you are a son of God? Do you say that you are born of God? If you say that you are born of God and that you are a son of God, then you have said that you are God. Is that right or is that wrong? Sure. How could you be a son of a devil and not be a devil? Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. He that is born of the devil is the son of the devil. He is a devil. Jesus said to them, said, you are of your father the devil. They were children of the devil. Ye are children of God. All right, so then Jesus did not back up from what he said, though it could have cost him his life and eventually did cost him his life. But he said, is it not written in the scriptures? Speaking of the book of Psalms, I went back and checked it, I'm sure you have. He said, is it not written in the scriptures, all we could say in the scrolls of that day, that I've called ye gods? See, he didn't say that I've called you sons of God. Or I've called you children of God. Or I've called you daughters of the Lord, even though he did use those terms.
See, but the thing is, he said, you're gods. Ye are gods to whom the scripture had come. Those that were under the law, even like John the Baptist, the Jewish people. Ye are gods. Ye are gods. You've never been born again. You've never had the infilling of the Holy Ghost as a gift. But nevertheless, you're gods. You know, that would baffle me. If I didn't have an understanding from God, that would baffle me. But it doesn't baffle me because the Bible speaks of Israel as being the apple of God's eye, of being the predestinated of God, and being them unto whom God had committed the oracles, unto whom he had given the oracles of the gospel. See, and these being in the faith, not having yet received the promise being made to Abraham, inasmuch as the Bible said, and the promise is not as unto seeds as of many, but as of one, even Isaac, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, even the promised son, which was symbolic of the Lord Jesus, where the Bible said, when the heir to the promise had come, then God sent forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law. So then, was he wrong when he said, I am the Son of God? The scripture said he sent forth his son. He only witnessed to the fact that he was the Son of God as to the fulfillment of the scripture, because he was. And this is what upset them, because they had never seen a Son of God. They'd never known anything about a Son of God. And here comes a man on the scene and he says, I'm the Son of God. And yet it was the fulfillment of the scripture. He told him, he said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. He said, but these are they that testify of me. And so it was that when they searched the scriptures, they found that in the scriptures it was written that he was the Son of God. And it was also written that he had called them under the law gods. Not them that was born to the Spirit of God, but them unto whom the scriptures had come, the word of God had come. They were gods. And so then they died in the faith, not having received the promise, but embracing the promise and confessing that they were pilgrims, and that is their father Abraham, that they were seeking a city whose builder and maker is God, a city that had foundations. And so then, here we find that these that were under the law, even John, these were called gods. Folks, if they were called gods, and here we are born of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and we ourselves are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, how much more then are we gods? Somebody would say, well, hallelujah, glory to God, we're gods. What else? Go on. No, you're ignorant. You don't understand. Somebody said, well, will somebody actually say that? That's about the attitude, you know. I'm saying this to an attitude. No, that's not the way it is. Somebody says, glory, hallelujah, I'm a God. Then say, Brother Taylor, do you know I'm a God? And Brother Taylor would say, well, what do you mean by that? Man, I can't die. I live forever. I do what I want to. I say what I will. It comes to pass. Everything is mine. Nobody can kill me. I can't die. That's what you're talking about when you're talking about gods. That's what you're talking about when you're talking about gods. We are gods. Somebody said, well, I know that, but Brother Pike, I understand that we die. Oh, no. Oh, no. Gods can't die. Gods never die. Gods have no beginning and gods have no end. Gods have no birth. Gods have no death. Gods are from everlasting to everlasting. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, what is this thing? Somebody was saying, aren't we born again, Brother Pike? Of course we're born again. But then, how is it that we're born again? We are born into a life as a membership of the body, or that is, we come forth to be made manifest, This was given to us in God before the world ever was, because Jesus was God before the world ever was. But though that Christ is the high priest of God, Melchizedek had to be made manifest in the flesh, then that means that we being the members of that body, we also have to come forth in the sonship to be made manifest in this flesh. See, the Bible said, and when Paul preached, and them that were before ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and them that were not before of old ordained unto eternal life, they did not believe. How could they believe? They could not believe because it was not given to them in God before the world ever was. Because they were the serpent seed. They was the seed of the serpent and the foreknowledge of God that were created as the seed of the serpent. Someone would say, well, I can't understand that. Well, what did Jesus mean when he said, ye are of your father the devil? That's what's wrong with you. That's why you want to kill me. That's why you say, I have a devil. Said, because you are children of the devil, and you're of your father the devil, and his will you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, and he was the father of a lie. The first thing he did was lie to Eve, and said, thou shalt not surely die. So then ye are your father the devil. Why do you go after the things of the world? Why do you do the things of the flesh? Why do you hunger and thirst after the lust and the thrill and the exuberance of this life? Why do you lay up treasures in this world? Why do you steal and cheat and manipulate and lie and gossip and backbite and have tempers and do all of these ugly things as to cursing and snorting? Why do you do this? Because you are of your father the devil. You are children of the devil. And that's why you do that. He was a liar from the beginning. He was the one that lusted from the beginning. The Bible said, sin is in the world because of lust. When Eve looked lusted because of the enticement. And then with that, sin came into the world, which was unbelief. And then from that, all of the attributes of sin, in that all unrighteousness is sin. From the root of that tree, there came all kind of iniquity from that tree of intellectual reasoning and knowledge. And from sin came death. And to be carnally minded is death, because that is where all of the problem comes from. Satan abode not in the truth. Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Because he was of the devil. He was of that wicked one. Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's deeds were righteous. And the Bible said, an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit, nor a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. And the tree is known by its fruits. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. For by their fruits ye shall know them. Why then should you go about telling people that you're Christians and telling people that you love God when you're bringing forth these evil, devilish things in your life and you're producing these evil, devilish doings? The Bible said the tree is known by its fruit and the child is known by his doing. Why do you do that? See, it just means that you are the liar. But he that loveth the Lord, the Bible said, the Spirit of Christ in him, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he was in the body of Jesus Christ, he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So then, when you've got the Spirit of Christ, it always does good. It doesn't just do good to people that it loves. It blesses its enemy. It does good to them that despitefully uses it. It prays for them that's been so ugly toward it. Oh, like somebody said something to me about some of the things that's happening of late in two or three services. I said, I have no quarrel with those people. I still love them. Jesus said to Judas, friend, I have no problem with that. Because when you have the love of God on the inside of you, You realize that you're not wrestling with flesh and blood, and it's not individuality that you're striving with. And that you're not as one of those that will take a gun and blow somebody's brains out. For in blowing somebody's brains out, does that solve your problem? Of course not. The devil of that body that caused you the problem goes on to another body and still causes you or someone else the same problem. The only way you can overthrow your enemy is by being good. You overcome evil with good. You bind devils by faith in the word of goodness, which is God, in that there's none good but God, and God is the word. So then, it is so beautiful to know that we are God's and to know that we cannot be spotted, that we cannot sin, that we cannot die, that we cannot lose our inheritance, that no one can lay anything to our charge, that we are justified, sanctified, and perfected forever, that we have healing and salvation, and we have all of the blessings of life because all of the things that pertain unto life are given unto us. And all we have to do is enjoy them by faith in the words that Jesus spoke. All right, so then we see that we are God's. And for what good work do you stone me? We do not stone you for a good work, but because you say that you are the Son of God, then you make yourself God when you're but a man. And because of this, then we stone you. So then the world doesn't like us today. The Bible said you shall be hated by all men, and all of the world will hate you because you're not of the world. And you're saying, we are God's, we're sons and daughters of God. God has ordained that we take over the world, and the government is upon our shoulder. And the devil said, that is a conspiracy against me. That is a conspiracy against my people. And I'll overthrow the church, and I'll do all of these things to the church. You know, but the church gallantly keeps marching on. And as it has been said, this great anvil has worn out many a hammer. It just keeps on and on. As in the days of John Knox, when Bloody Mary and the others rose up against it, when she was so powerful and people literally shook, feared her so greatly. John Knox, the praying man, did not fear her at all. And when something would arise, though she would slay thousands of people, when something would arise, he'd go to his prayer closet and he'd pray and he'd pray and he prayed. And when something was said about what they would do to him, he just answered back and he said, be it known unto thee, O queen, O king, or whoever you are, this great anvil has worn out many a hammer. And with that, the queen shook. And the statements came down through history, said, I don't fear the alien army, but I fear John Knox's prayers more than all of the army put together. See, for the Bible said, I will put the fear of God and the fear of you upon all of these people, and they shall be afraid of you because you are called by my name. So then we see here a beautiful thing as to telling us what's going on. Here, as Lazarus passed away, and it was said, Lazarus is dead. Jesus said, Lazarus is not dead, but he is asleep. When the man came for Jesus to pray for his little daughter, and then she died before he could get there, and these servants came and said, don't trouble the master. The little one is already dead. Jesus said, fear not. Only believe. And when he approached the house and saw the to-do and all of these things and people weeping, he said, why make ye such a to-do? He said, the maiden is not dead, she's asleep. And the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. But see, she was not dead. Apparently she was not of the age of accountability as to what would cause her to die, so she went to sleep. And Jesus knew the difference between sleep and death, so he just went in and awakened her, and his fame spread throughout all of the land. And here it is, Lazarus, he said, Lazarus is not dead, because Lazarus was a good man. Lazarus loved the Lord. He was a friend of the Lord's, and he wasn't dead. And Jesus said, Lazarus isn't dead, he's just asleep. I go to awake him. And folks, let me tell you, there is nothing less than the world of difference between you are as those that will go to sleep and they that are those that shall die and be placed into the ground. For one day the Lord is going to call and He's going to wake up them that sleep in Christ Jesus. For the Bible said, and they that sleep in Christ, they will He bring with Him when He comes. For He will awaken us. He will awaken us. See, because we are but asleep. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, it says, and He shall break the heavens, and He shall come forth in the clouds, and the graves shall break open, and the dead shall rise and come forth. It does. It says He shall appear in the clouds of heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead. But it said the dead in Christ shall rise. And it says, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed, because as Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. But many of the people will sleep. Many of the people are already asleep. But when the Lord comes and the trumpet sounds, it's like in service when they raise up the little trump and they begin to blow. People begin to arouse. They begin to get up. They're soldiers. It's time to start moving. See, and we are they that will be asleep unless we meet Him at His coming. So then in that, when He comes and sounds, all of the dead in Christ shall awake and they shall rise to meet Him. See, but not all of the dead. For the Bible said, and the rest of the dead, as to the wicked dead, they did not live again until after the 1,000 years, which means that they were not asleep, but they were dead. They were dead. They that are in trespasses and sin, even while they live in the world today, they are dead. And I've said this to you so many times. You do not die. You do not die and go to hell. You are already dead, and when the blood comes off the seat of atonement as to that time of the catching away, or when you've lived your days of grace out as to your allotted period of time that God has given to every man to give him space as to time to repent, when he has lived up this time, then he closes his eyes, and as he closes his eyes, the Spirit of man, which is already one with the spirit of death, departs from his body, and he is then in the world of darkness and torment, because he is no longer in the body and under the blood atonement as to the grace that's coming down from God because of the blood atonement. The blood that's on the seat of atonement indicates that life is in the blood, and while that blood is on the seat of atonement, there between the covering cherubs, as it would be as symbolic in the Old Testament, take a while to explain it as to the Revelation, but while that blood is there, it indicates that life, as to blood life, is still in the presence of God, and as long as that life is the blood life that is acceptable by God in His presence, that blood life can continue in the earth as to the unanimous flow of mankind without respect to person, and God will not do anything about it. Because to preserve life in the earth, God brought forth an innocent lamb. He brought forth the Son of God. He kept him under this blood life until the time appointed as to the Reformation, and under the time of the seed to whom the promise was made. Then he brought forth the blood, put it on the seat of atonement to say, this blood is innocent and this blood has the life, for the life is in the blood. And so then I'm preserving this life. And as long as this life is in my presence, then I will not destroy life in the earth. I'll take care of everything. I will not do as I done in the days of Noah, because this is innocent life. And as long as it stays here, then humanity will be blessed. And that is again to say, until you and I can be changed into the innocent, God has preserved our natural life in the earth. And so then He does this, and them that are in the world that are wicked, they get the privilege of it. And that gives us a chance to come out from among the wicked, for God to preach the gospel, to redeem us from each generation. And then when God finally finishes at the end of the way, the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. And with that, then all of a sudden, the devastation of God comes. All right, so then we know that God has done this in our behalf.
And today we are alive forevermore. For our blood is to corruption because of looking upon it as the red dragon, of that that had to be spilt, taken away at the smiting of the Lord Jesus to do away with that perverted image and perverted life in that there was no sin in Jesus, yet it was symbolic. Now here we are, it's not a symbolic, but we are the very Christ in bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he was God made manifest in the earth. And so then we realize the blessing of the Lord and that we pass from death unto life in that our spirit of life that would have died because of sin was taken out of that body of sin by the finished works of Jesus Christ, transferred over to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this life being taken out of our blood of the old red dragon, brought over to the blood life of Jesus, which is the precious blood, the atoning blood of the Lord God of heaven, this innocent blood, and it was said Jesus to Jesus and said to the others, see, this there was no fault found in this innocent man. And it was said as of Satan, I have betrayed innocent blood, as Judas said. I have betrayed innocent blood. So then when this life went down into hell, nothing could hold it. There was no corruption. Satan had no power over it. It was all conquered at Calvary. And he only passed through these dimensional things, as into the heart of the earth, into the grave, into death, into hell, that he might be resurrected in the fullness of life in the behalf of you and I, to where you and I could never, never, never die. So then we could never die because we're resurrected from the dead. We're alive forevermore. Here we are alive forevermore. God has resurrected us from the dead. See, so that means that we cannot die. You may go to sleep, but you cannot die. There is a difference. I say again that when your spirit departs from God's spirit, that is death. But when your spirit departs from your body, that does not mean death. For when you are not born of God, then you are absent of life. Satan is interwoven with you in your spirit. By the time you come to your ultimatum, this happens. If you die as a little child, it doesn't happen as to the little children. The little maiden was not dead, but asleep. And if you have not yet come to the age of accountability, it is said of you that your spirit, your life, your angel still is in the presence of God, not accountable. So then God does not charge it against you. But if it ever enters into life as to knowledge and understanding, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin, and the soul that's in it shall surely die. So the body is thus dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ because of sin, and I am free from that body of death. But if you do not have that atonement, and you go on in your life, then when life departs, it means that your spirit, having come to the knowledge of truth, and rejecting it, then Satan took your spirit and has become interwoven with your spirit, and your time is over as to an allotted time of acknowledgement of the truth and repentance. Then you are dead. They that live in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they revel in the world. So then when, as to the rich man, his spirit departed from his body, once that spirit departed from the body, it was already in the abyss. It was already there in the flames of hell, as we say, in the sorrows and heartaches of hell, because it was one with Satan, who is the ruler of the darkness, and the judgment is upon him. As to God having created hell in the time of his anger, for the devil and his angels, and the devil and his angels are spiritual beings. Just to say that as to keep the question out of your mind. So then, that means that he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. But with Lazarus, he went to sleep because his spirit was one with God's spirit and he was already alive. You that have God's spirit, you are already alive. Even the ones that the Spirit of the Lord came unto in the form of the Word because of faith. God, by predestination, put them to sleep, saying that these all died in the faith or went to sleep, not having received the promise, but confessing that they were children of faith, looking forward to the promise, and therefore God sealed them as the elect through predestination unto life, saying that they cannot be a finished product as to the perfection, as to the change without you and I. And these that were under the law cannot be made perfect without you and I. So then it had to come to Calvary and to the time of the promise. For the promise was this, and when the seed shall come, which was Christ, as to the great wonderful Melchizedek, the great wonderful Christ, when the Christ has come into its own body, which was Jesus, who was to be made a priest after the order of this Christ, as to Melchizedek, or the priest of the Most High God, who was, who is from everlasting to everlasting, without mother, without father, without descent, without beginning, without end. And so then there had to be a body that would be made like unto this great, wonderful Melchizedek, the high priest of the Most High God. So then we see that the law was added because of transgression until the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and that was unto Jesus. And so when the promise seed come, then as to Christ, he went down into the heart of the earth. He preached to the souls that were in prison, they who waited in the long suffering of the patience of God back in the days of Noah when the earth was being destroyed by water, when 8 souls were saved. So then, as to this, the Bible refers back to baptism as water in the days of Noah being the like figure, whereunto baptism says also now save us as to the remission of sin. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, as to you and I being righteous, but as to the answer of a good conscience toward God by faith of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Though we do put away the filth of the flesh, yet that is not what saves us. That is our submission as to conformity to eradicate impurities and spots, as to a utilization of this Christ on the inside, as to be made manifest in our mortal genes, as to usurp authority in this world and take over the kingdoms and be about our Father's business, as to whatever measure that is what you are. All right, so then we see that we are different. We are different. We are already what we are by predestination, and we've always been. And when the preacher comes to preach a revival, he does not preach a revival to try to go out and win souls in the way you think of winning souls, or to go into all the world to preach the gospel to win souls is the way you think to win souls. But he is coming to preach the gospel that they that are the elect of God by foreknowledge, these that were chosen in Christ before the world ever was, and predestinated unto good works through Jesus Christ, that they might hear the glad tidings of great joy and believe, because they are the predestinated, as to as many as that were foreordained unto eternal life, and they believed. And then they will come to God because they are the children of God, and they will be taken out of the hog pens of the world of the soul, place of the animals and beasts, and be taken into the place that they belong, even into the garden of heaven where Adam and Eve fell from when they fell into the stables of the world of this beast. Jesus, coming into the stable as to this world of beasts, picked up the body, took it back to the high heights of glory by walking up on the mountain between Moses and Elijah, glorified before all, that this wonderful glory could be seen. For he said, as unto Martha and Mary, did I not say unto you that if thou wouldest believe, that ye should see the glory of God? For he hath called us unto glory and unto virtue. So it's very evident that we are a great and a mighty people by the works of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, just a few words of exhortation tonight. Ye are gods. Therefore you cannot die, you may go to sleep. As the little maiden, you may go to sleep as Lazarus. But the dead is to the wicked dead, and those that are dead are considered the wicked. So then the dead shall not live until the 1,000 years is finished. But we that go to sleep, should we tarry, or should he tarry, then we shall be awakened at his coming, to rule and to reign with him 1,000 years, for this shall be before the millennium, and then after the millennium the dead shall come forth then. The power of God shall just pick them up. And the Bible said hell and death and the grave just pick them up, and they shall be put into the lake of fire. For hell shall deliver up the dead that is in it, and the graves that go right on through the millennium shall deliver up the dead that's in them. And the sea that has taken the bodies of many people through burial at sea shall deliver up
the dead that are in them, speaking of the wicked dead, and they shall be cast into the lake of fire that burneth, where the fire is not quenched. And as God said to Jacob, thy worm, the worm dieth not. I hope that these little sermonettes and exhortation add something to your life as to heavenly treasure, even the knowledge of God in your earthen vessels. I hope that it adds something to you, to where you can think different and understand different. And don't ever just take these as some light terms and a light measure, because these are not illustrations and these are not something that we are saying as to give you some kind of imprint of thought as to say there is a likeness unto, but this is the facts. This is the truth. There is a world of difference between your angelic being and the angelic being of a sinner or a person who hath never received Christ in their heart or been born again. You cannot die. You cannot die. You cannot die. He that is born of God cannot die. You have no reason to fear death. All of our life we were subject to bondage because of the fear of death. We're not subject to bondage anymore because we do not fear death. The Bible said, do not fear him that's able to kill the body, but rather him that after he hath killed the body can destroy the soul in hell. So then, we cannot die, neither can God destroy us in hell, because he hath given us his word, and because he can swear by no greater, he swears by himself. There will be no change or alteration throughout eternity as to my promises that you are alive forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right, let's sing this chorus together. These things were ordained by a mediator in the presence of angels. God made this proclamation in the presence of angels. Can you imagine that? Great and mighty beings that are gods. Angels are gods. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die, but the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt become as gods. And so it was. They became as gods because Jesus acknowledged it. And the Heavenly Father said, now that they have become as one of us, that is, as gods. Now, he could have said as to Satan, thou shalt not surely die, but the day that you eat thereof, I can enter into you. And I am an angelic force, and I am a God. Even the God of darkness, I've been made ruler of the darkness, of intellectual reasoning. And that's what this tree is evil. You've already got good, but if you'll just listen to me, eat of this tree, I can enter right into your body, possess your body, and you'll become as a God. You'll know both sides, good and evil. And I can rule through you, and you will be as God. And so it was. But God put them out of the garden when he got into them, lest they should put forth their hand, eat of the tree of life, or partake of the tree of life, and live forever. So we know then that with us it is different. Wish we could comment on that. But let's sing a little chorus to it. I love him. Why shouldn't we love him? He's made us gods. When we were nothing but mere human beings, just beasts, lost and undone, doomed, cut off, no hope of life, only torch and torment. But he made us gods. Today, we are gods. Gods cannot die. Gods with all the splendor and magnificence of youth and life and health, of glory. And yet you, even you young girls and boys, will trade this godship, this wonderful, superb regime of sitting on the throne with God,
He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. And the glories, for he's called us from sin and death to life and to glory and to virtue. And you will give this glory. You'll give this glory. This glory, God said, this glory that I give unto you. And Jesus said, Father, these have been with me in the time of my shame and my temptation. Now let them be with me in the time of my splendor and magnificence, beholding my glory. Let them see my glory, Heavenly Father. And the Bible said, when they awake, they saw his glory. He said, awake, thou that sleepest. And when they awoke, they saw his glory. Couldst thou not watch with me, he said. And they were heavy with sleep. They that be drunken in the night. They that are asleep, they're in the old carnal mind. So then, you trade this glory for your foolishness and the beggarly elements of this world, and desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world by the human senses, of your human senses that relates to this as to the natural substance of the world. The Bible said, and these have sensually, by human senses that is, they have sensually separated themselves from God, from the great spirit of the quickening. And the only stimulation they have, and the only sensation they have, and the only inspiration they have unto life is unto perversion, as to a quickening of the flesh, as to the stimulation of their human senses. But folks, we've got the indwelling of the great, wonderful inspiration of life that was from the beginning. You know, it's like I was telling somebody down in the printing room the other day. I said, it's drab, everything is dull. It's cast down when you go to do something for God. You feel cast down. You don't have any inspiration. You don't have any drive. You don't have any desire. I said, unless you talk to God, and then you get that innermost, interwoven motivation of God as to the activation of the stimulation from within that drives this body with a great force to inspire it unto life and happiness in God. But otherwise, you're in this world and you're subject to the vanities, and Satan is alluring and pulling and pressing and discouraging. He's discouraging on you in anything toward Christ that would injure his kingdom and cast him out of that body. And he is inspiring you toward eating and drinking and buying and selling and frolicking faces and forms, passions and money, prestige, laughter, all of the things of this world. Sports, he's inspiring you toward that and killing the inspiration, true inspiration of the quickening of life that comes from Christ within. The Bible teaches that this life of Christ on the inside should be made manifest in the mortal genes. This is what God is wanting. All right, so then we see that if we be as of the desire of the world and the love of the world's in us, then we are the bond child unto death and sorrow. And our life is but a few days and full of trouble, vanity soon fades away. And we're under bondage to passions and thrills and stimulations of our intellectual motivation as to the old mind of darkness, which is carnality, which is death. But to be spiritually inspired is to the mind of Christ is life. Peace. And this is what I want. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Life is life. A mountain railroad with an engine is played. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the fields, the curves, the tunnels, never fall keep your hands upon the throttle and your eyes upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in God's praise forevermore. All there's room at the cross for you. All there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Come in to my heart, oh, come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in to and come in this day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. One more time. So come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this chorus. Jesus gave her water, and it was not from the well. Others to the water that was from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, she went for the tap. And always bringing others to this water bed.
One more time together.
Jesus gave us some water. Wasn't from the land. Jesus gave us some water. She went on to town. Went away stinging and she came back a bringing others to this water that wasn't from the well. Well, she poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restored my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road and poured in the oil and the wine. Jesus poured in that oil and wine. It's the wine.
Lift your hands with me and let's sing this little chorus.
And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood has washed away every stain.
One more time.
And I will pray. My heart will praise Him. Praise the Lamb.
Can I ask Brother Pasden to come up and dismiss us if he will?
Let us give Him glory, all ye people. Oh!